It is 6 p.m. on Wednesday, June 13, 2018, and I call the Planning and Development Extension Education Committee meeting to order. Number one, certification of compliance with Wisconsin Open Meetings Law.
I have the document. Yes, it was.
We are in compliance. Okay. Number two, review youth and governance program policies.
Yeah, and it really isn't so much policies, but I will share an update on the tour of the plant for June 27th. Send them all around this way. What we have enough of.
Oh, you know what? Before we start, let's do introductions since we have.
Oh, excellent idea. Sure.
Go ahead.
Okay, I'm Beth Baker. I'm the Area Extension Director for Kenosha County and Racine County. Welcome.
I'm Lee Presley. I'm the agriculture educator for Kenosha and Racine County.
Hi, I'm Mary Madden. I'm the health and well-being educator for Kenosha County's UW Extension.
I'm Amy Grile. I am the natural resources, economic, and community development. I've switched that around. Usually community, natural resource, economic development educator for Kenosha County.
I'm Mark Cardigan, County Board Supervisor, 21st District.
I'm Victoria Zeroni.
I'm Haley Esposito.
I'm Erin Decker, County Board Supervisor, District 22, and Chair of this committee.
John Gould, County Board Supervisor, District 20.
Zach Rodriguez, Supervisor, District 8.
And Supervisor Solitsky, like I said earlier, will be here later.
Okay, great. So it probably will be of great interest to our youth and governance reps that what this plan for June 27th. The biggest change from last year is the request to have the tour include Brookside Care Center, and that's where we'll be having lunch as well. So hopefully it's good.
Did you go to Brookside last year?
I don't think
so. Usually they do.
Usually they do?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know. It sounded like that was being added in, especially to have the lunch there part of it. So, and then we reduced a little bit of the time with the sheriff's department at the end to fit it all in. So that's the game plan. We're just finalizing the details and have the bus ready to roll. And excited to spend the day with our new youth and governance folks
and Mark.
Yes, that's right. You're going to go too. It's going to work out for your schedule. Will you come here to meet us, or
you
going to meet us?
Tell me where to be, and I'll be where I got to be.
Okay. Well, if you want to come and hop on the bus here, you're welcome to do that. Yeah.
That's fine with me.
Okay. Excellent.
Getting paid for the day off. I've got plenty of time.
Beautiful. We'll enjoy having you along with us. Yes.
Bev and Mary's also joining.
And Mary, who's
yes.
So I have to say, it's an orientation for youth and governance, but for those of us that are newer to the county and county government, it's for other people too. It's really a helpful piece to have. Okay, and so I don't think there's any other real policy things coming up. I think that was just an agenda item from the past.
Okay.
So that's all I have for youth and governance.
Okay. Well, number three, then we have the policy regarding youth and governance members and closed sessions. I had requested to have this put on the agenda for Supervisor Retzloff. He requested because he was on the Finance Administration Committee.
Yes.
And he said a lot of times, or sometimes, they go into closed session and it's personnel matters that might not want the youth and governance in on it. And he wanted to discuss about the possibility of like the chair of the committee being allowed to say youth and governance don't come to this part kind of at the discretion of the chair, because sometimes it is pertinent and it's not really it's the personnel matters that most.
Well, and from my experience with youth and governance too, it's a liability to anyone who's in on that closed session if anything leaves that room. And so that's the other factor to enter into all of this as well, is the liability for the youth if they are present for sensitive topics like that. So
is there any discussion on it about adding that to the policy for the youth and governance?
How do you want to word it then?
Youth and governance, I would say that youth and governance members are excused from the closed session portion of any meeting. And And they don't have to stay for the remainder of the meeting, because sometimes meetings go into closed session and then they come back out. But you don't want to have them sitting there by themselves for possibly an hour just to
come back to adjourn the meeting or something. Did you want to include language at the committee's discretion, or the committee chair's discretion, or just all meetings?
I think at the committee chair's discretion.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking the one time when I was on the redistricting committee, we went into closed session, and it was just because we were discussing the upcoming court case, but it wasn't anything
sensitive.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just didn't want the strategy to get out.
Okay, and then do you need this as a motion, or just that? Okay, so it's a motion. Or somebody.
You want to read that?
As best as I can. Youth and governance members are excused from the closed session portion of any meeting at the committee chair's discretion, and then something to the effect that they do not have to stay for the remainder of the meeting.
Yes. If the meeting should go into open session.
Yeah. And if the meeting should go back into open session, they are excused from that portion also.
Would be the who made the motion in the second?
Well,
first, that?
Let's discuss it first.
Oh, discuss it first. I'm sorry.
For me, if it's
okay.
A closed session, I mean, I get the example you gave, but a closed session is then members of the public or they have a meeting. For me, it's a closed session. It's a closed session, and I don't think giving nothing against the governance, but I'm sorry, it's a closed session.
So you think they should be required to leave?
Yeah,
closed
it's
session?
A closed session. Everybody out, unless you're legal by statute.
Mark, John, thoughts on that?
Because I agree.
I'm fine with it either way. That was just what Supervisor Skolitz or that's not it.
Yeah, there could be a lot of very sensitive materials that come out in closed session that really, I probably don't want to hear, but, certainly. Anyone who's not really involved, it makes no sense to be there and just let them go afterwards. There's no reason. Like you said, how long can it go? I've been in a few, but not through the county side. They can go fairly long, so I imagine sitting there waiting however long, it's not going to be worth it. Just when you come in and just say, we approve what we talked about in the session, and it's over.
Right.
So. Maybe go through the process with them so they understand it, but not on very specific criteria that they've discussed.
And that's something that the mentor can explain.
Yes.
To them. So you would like to remove the part about just that it's required?
I think it should just be, if a committee or the board as a whole goes into closed session, then any youth governance members. Part that they need to leave.
Was that a motion or was that just
So I'm removing at the committee chair's discretion. Correct?
Yes.
Okay.
So now how does it work?
I don't think I have it quite the way that you said it. Before I had youth and governance members are excused from closed session portion of any meeting. Any committee meeting?
They shall not attend.
Okay. Well, because otherwise it'd be optional. Okay.
That doesn't go through legislative, does it?
No, it doesn't go, it just stays in the committee and they're done.
Okay. So youth and governance members shall not attend any closed session
portions
of any committee meetings.
And then also that they're excused from.
Okay. And are excused from the remaining.
Portion of the meeting after the closed session, let's say.
Okay, I'm sure April will have it just perfect when she listens to it. All right, so that takes effect now?
Well, as soon as we vote on it, yes.
Okay, so it's not like it goes in the handbook for next year, it's like, take,
no.
Do it right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So does someone want to make a motion to approve that change?
Can you read it once through?
Yeah. Youth and governance members shall not attend any closed session portion of any committee meeting and are excused from the remaining portion of the meeting after the closed session. It's a little clunky, but.
Do we need to add in there the meetings we have on the first and third Tuesdays?
No, because they're not part of that.
Do they don't sit in on that? I thought we had two sit in on that.
Only if they do, but that's not part of their duties.
It's not part of the program.
Correct.
Okay.
How about you? Youth and governance members shall not attend and be excused from the part about afterward. Shall not attend any closed session and be excused.
Portion of the committee meeting and be excused from the remaining portion of the meeting.
For the remainder of the meeting.
For the remainder of the meeting, okay. Youth and governance members shall not attend any closed session portions of any committee meeting and be excused for the remainder of the meeting.
Following the closed session.
Okay.
Pause too long, we'll get stuff added.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, I have a motion by Supervisor Rodriguez and a second by Supervisor Nordigan. Any further discussion? Any further discussion or questions? Okay. Now, we always ask the youth governance to vote first and then we vote afterward. So that way your votes are not influenced by how we vote. So when I say youth governance, how do you vote? You're saying yay or nay. Governance, how do you vote?
Yay.
Okay. Committee, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say nay. Okay, motion passes.
You can say aye, you can say
yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Just yay or nay. Don't let her control you.
Why don't you go sit by your youth?
I probably should.
Yeah.
My youth. They're fine over there. I can keep an eye on them.
So. Well, we're going to be getting up anyway. So.
And there you go.
Moving on, number four, feature program, agriculture education.
Yes, so we are going on a field trip for the...
We are! Today?
Yes. Such a beautiful day, we figured we would hold my portion, the remainder of the meeting. Do you want to have...
Do you want other reports first? And then
maybe that would be a good idea.
And then you come back.
Are we going to be going outside?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's just make sure before all the mosquitoes decide to carry us.
We were talking about that.
If it's too bad,
we'll
come back.
I don't think they're too bad. But that makes sense. That we can kind of have a limited time. Yeah, limited time.
It's very small in Silver Lake.
It's unbelievable.
All right. So UW Extension Educator Program update.
So I can start maybe just because today was... we had our annual local prairie walk, which is held in Kenosha County at Dyer Lake Road. Century Oaks Farm, if you're familiar, used to be the home farm of the founders of Radio Flyer, Little Red Wagon Company. So under new ownership, these people are really into wetland conservation and wildlife habitat creation. So that was kind of the theme. We had 93 attendees, which was an all-time high. Went over very well. Next week is tractor safety for Kenosha, Racine, Walworth County. So I'm preparing for that program. Should be a fun, good week. Hopefully all goes well.
And So Mary mentioned, introduced herself, but we're very excited to have her as our newest, our health and well-being extension educator. You began on May 21st,
yes.
Correct? So she's only had a few weeks with us, but if you want to share a little bit about your background, can be your report.
Sure.
She hasn't cranked out the programs yet, although she's very involved in one with Amy.
Yes. Hi. I'm the new health and well-being educator here in Kenosha County with Extension. My professional background is mostly in the social work field, working primarily with children and families. So in this position, I will have specific focuses that are within food security, financial security, and social and emotional well-being, working with directly with clientele, adults, children, as well as agency or other professionals that then serve clients that would kind of be assisted in those categories. So a lot of what I've done so far is just learning the ropes within Extension as well as Kenosha County. My colleagues have been gracious enough to bring me along to different meetings and opportunities to meet with folks and just kind of observe some of the different programming. So I've been able to participate in a couple professional development days through Extension and then just kind of getting out and about in the community. So I'm excited to meet more people within Kenosha and get a better sense of what they feel will be most beneficial for the people that they work with.
Great, welcome Mary. So my update today, three separate projects. With the Facade Grant Program, I continue a study that I did years ago that we're introducing new case studies into regarding the impact of storefront improvements, or what are called facades. So we want to know what happens when a business invests their hard-earned cash into, say, their new sign, new windows, new awnings, new trim, whatever it may be, to really, especially buildings that are in historic districts that are oftentimes extremely blighted, run down, in disrepair. So there is a grant program that I helped establish downtown Kenosha, and I've done three sort of follow-up interviews with the grantees to see how their business has either grown or stayed the same, and you know, there's potential that they've lost money, I suppose, somehow through this grant program, but at the same time, inquiring about the impact of the facade changes, I also get to do some business retention sorts of questions. So learning more about, you know, would you like to maybe refresh your business plan? Are you looking at improving your marketing, your social media, and connecting them to resources that I know of through UW Parkside or through a variety of small business development sources to resources? So I've done three visits, one with Actors Craft. That is, they did a full facade improvement, new windows, new signage. I think their grant was for $5,000, and you have to match it with your own $5,000 to get that. And they do acting classes, they do theater, they do public speaking, they work with a lot of professionals that are trying to improve their stage presence and executive presence. So anyways,
what's the name of the business?
Actors Craft. Okay. And it's right over by Circa on 7th, kind of on the north side of the downtown. She's extremely thrilled with her project and the way that the whole grant was administered. And she has not seen any changes necessarily in the foot traffic, but she's saying that she's getting a lot of positive feedback from community members, especially for events and things that walk in. Then Stella is a hair salon. She also had a sign refinished. And Bjorn's is a very long time men's clothing store. They said they have had the highest sales revenue in their 38-year history last month. So downtown is working for some of its businesses, and they're very, very appreciative of that grant program. I'm going to go back in a year and then just basically continue to follow up with them to say, how is this working in real terms when you invest in your facades? Will the downtown collectively grow in new business starts and others investing in their properties, but also would the individual business grow based on an improved look of the building? So that is really exciting stuff, and now we've just enrolled a second cohort of grantees into this, and I think we have another, say, $40,000 to put out, and that would obviously be matched with at least $40,000 from the business owners themselves. So slowly but surely, downtown Kenosha is coming along. Uptown, another community I'm working in, has established another couple committees to bring forward some work with the city of Kenosha around safety and security, working closely with the city so that we can improve sort of the collaborations between the business owners and the police themselves when there's occurrences or crimes at the properties that the property owners are contacted.
Can I explain where Uptown is?
Yeah, so Uptown, are you familiar with where Downtown is? And then Uptown is on 22nd Avenue, so it's a little commercial district there. And so we're working on committees, working to, I guess, create projects that they can bring forth and accomplish in small teams. And why this is important, this is really building leadership skills that they can use in their lives, in their families, in their homes, in their work, but they're learning how to make decisions as a group, to analyze complex situations, what are some possible, say, cause and effects of doing something but not another thing, or it's helping them make decisions. And also, what was my other point? Yeah, that decision making in groups, building consensus, and all of those sorts of leadership development skills that are so valued, they're actually trying them on in these small groups. We went and met with Kenosha News, and they got to play kind of the role of advocate and champion of a cause, and kind of promoted their projects and asking for more sort of positive opportunities to post news and events from their neighborhood. So June 30th, we have a cleanup event in Uptown right before the 4th of July. So if you'd like to learn more, I'll get you the information. We're gonna have little signs in the sidewalk areas. I think we're going to be able to do this with city support and just say, welcome to Uptown, thank you for visiting, that sort of thing. So it's all very good. Finally, Mary's kind of been also working with me on this food bank concept. This past month, we had a number of important stakeholder meetings. We continue data collection. I visited the Sheboygan County Food Bank and started meeting with their staff, and they're actually coming down next Tuesday. So another opportunity to see what we do in Kenosha. That is Tuesday the 19th. They'll be at the Job Center at 10 o'clock to talk with other food pantries. How do you work with a food bank when you are a food pantry in? Let's recall there are several food pantries throughout east of the eye, west of the eye, that serve those that are food insecure. So that's my progress. Thank you.
Question.
Yes?
Did you say you got the $40,000 grant for the facades?
So those are combined, little cobbled together, $5,000 from First Bank of the Lakes, from, we have Tri-City National Bank, we have Johnson Bank, I can get you the list of all the banks that contributed, but it's all just coming through their community reinvestment funds that they're required if they're making, generating, I guess, income based on a community's sort of support that
they're
reinvesting.
What you're saying.
Well, and we're trying to work closer with the philanthropic community, but so far have not secured any.
You guys,
banks are required to do community reinvestments. Things. Community Reinvestment Act.
Are you guys facing issues with, I know, like, for instance, my family owns a business downtown, and we wanted to apply for this grant program. I'm not sure if we did or not, but we were having issues, at least with our landlord, and we talked with business owners down there, where I won't name who our landlord is, but an individual who owns most of downtown, not really being a team player in this.
We have. There are certainly a few particular landlords that own particularly large amounts of property downtown, so I'm not sure which one is yours, your lucky catch there, but unfortunately it has to be the property owner that fronts the match, because we're not asking the business owner, since they don't own the property, to invest their own dollars into the facades.
So did any of these three businesses that did receive the first round of grants, did any of them own their buildings?
Two of the three own their buildings. Stella is a salon, and Mike Tomey is a accountant downtown. He owns that building, and he is on the bid board, so he had basically heard about it and worked through the channels for that one. But yeah, I let me talk to you offline and we'll see what we can do, because we certainly want to support the active business, since that's where much of the economic return is going to be seen.
You know, talking about the business owners down, we're right at 6th. I mean, a lot of them have issues with their landlords and fronting. And I know, for example, there were a few instances where the tenants were willing to front the money because of the way the grant works. The landlords were getting way
Okay, that's great feedback. Thank you.
Is it only downtown businesses for this grant, or are they?
At this time, it is just limited actually to the bid members. So not every downtown business is actually located in the business improvement district.
Membership district. Okay. Is that like, is it just called the business membership district, or what's?
Business Improvement District, yeah. So it's actually, it's a city jurisdiction, a city taxing body that they contribute a self-imposed tax.
Okay, and that's what you were talking about, you know, the tax that they're considering.
No, that was a Community Reinvestment Act.
I'm sorry?
The Community Reinvestment Act is separate. That's,
I mean, it's
that's a federal thing that the federal government requires banks to do.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can talk to you offline. A bid basically is funding them their own sort of projects. They fund flowers, they fund staff. They don't fund the facade grants yet. They're bringing banks' money into that pool.
Right.
So it's a multi sort of layering of different funding pools.
That's fine.
But it's only downtown right now.
Okay. So that's similar then to like an HOA?
I'm not sure. Yeah.
It's a self-imposed thing.
Yeah, but it's a taxing body, and every state does it a little differently. But here, you go through the city, and then they set up a special assessment, because you would charge yourself $1 per 1,000 of value, or whatever the entity determines on its own to tax themselves. Of course, the more money you can raise, the more you can do. But people are a little bit sensitive to all of that.
Any other questions for Amy? No? Okay. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of tied into the director updates as well. So just a few minutes ago, before the meeting, I sent you the updated annual report, and I'll have those on the county board supervisor's desk as soon as they're printed. And then we also are trying out the email where I have the upcoming events, some that were mentioned, and who to contact. A lot of them are also on the website, but some are not. So again, give me feedback if that's on the right line of what you were thinking.
I'll
would
report
be useful.
On it and supervisor report since, you know, and let them know that if they have any questions, that I've got more information or contact.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
Yeah, that works.
Perfect. That sounds good. So any, you know, again, I just started out with a chunk of them, and I'll get a better system where my colleagues will have a little bit more information to share to make sure then you have what you need in case you want to participate or observe or see how the programs are going. So thank you.
Anything else, sir?
I think that's what I can think of for now.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we transition?
Sure. Yeah.
I'm going to move our stuff to the other room first so we don't have to come back here.